our friends and neighbors, the Goldbergs. Brought to you by the makers of new high-test Oxidol. Say, did you ever stop to figure, is the laundry soap you're using economical? Oh, I don't mean just inexpensive to buy. That's not always a sign of economy. Because sometimes a laundry soap may cost you more in clothes than necessary. I mean, when washable colored clothes get so drab and scrubbed out looking, they're hardly fit to wear. Now, you know that's not economical. Not when you have to keep buying new clothes all the time. So that's why you should insist on Oxidol, because Oxidol is a safe, economical laundry soap. And when I say safe, I mean safe for washable colors, washable fabrics, and for your hands. Just to show you how safe Oxidol is, we gave cotton prints the equivalent of more than a full year's washing in Oxidol suds without a perceptible sign of wash day fade. And what's more, with Oxidol, you can save your clothes, too. Save them from a lot of that wash day wear and tear that can put them in the rag bag long before their time. Because, you know, there's no hard scrubbing or boiling with Oxidol. No harsh scrub boards to wear your clothes thin. Instead, just an easy 10-minute soaking, a few quick rubs on the dirty spots, a good douse, and a rinse. Why, clothes washed in Oxidol last as much as 2 to 3 times longer from the standpoint of wash day wear and tear than clothes washed with old-style scrub boil methods. Yes, Oxidol saves your clothes. Thus, you'll find it saves you money, too. So, ladies, for sparkling, clean, economical washes, get Oxidol, won't you? And say, Oxidol's selling at the lowest prices in years, right now. And now, the Goldbergs. When a son falls in love, even the best of mothers feels a little jealous. And Molly Goldberg doesn't know whether she's an exception or not. Of course, there's no proof that Sammy's in love with Sylvia Allison, the girl from South Carolina who was staying with the Goldbergs. But Sylvia resents Molly, and Molly feels a certain prejudice against the girl. Well, these are bad signs. Well, it's late at night now, and Joe Banner's cousin, Seymour, is talking with Molly, trying to make her feel that nothing unusual is going on with respect to Sammy. It's just a way of passing the time until Joe Banner arrives to talk to his cousin. Seymour, you remember, came up from New York to look for a job. And so far, he's been doing more talking than looking. Listen.
What's keeping Joe so long?
If you're tired, why don't you go to bed, Mrs. Goldberg? Really, I don't mind.
I'm not tired, Seymour.
Really, I don't mind waiting alone.
Well, Seymour, dear, if I was tired, I would say to you, and I would say good night, and I would expire.
You're too good, Mrs. Goldberg. You ought to be more selfish for yourself.
Well, being good for yourself is selfish for yourself. Don't ever think so, Seymour.
You can't live by philosophy, Mrs. Goldberg. You'd be surprised how it fools you. For years I've been saying to myself, try and you'll succeed. Try and try again. If you have the will, you'll find a way. Show me anyone that tries more than I try. So what? So look at me. Sitting here and waiting for a cousin to come over. And mind you, who isn't even in such a hurry to come over and do something for me. Give me a job or find me a job. What's philosophy? It goes deeper. There's deeper reasons for things. It isn't your individual will. Looks like everything's conspired against me. When you don't work, Mrs. Goldberg, you have time to think. I know it's a combination of things that's holding me back. I know it.
What, Seymour?
Well, first, a person's personal appearance has a lot to do. When people see me for the first time, I don't make such a good impression. I know it. You gotta talk to me to like me. So who's gonna give me a chance to talk when I go in to apply for a job? So that's strike number one. And strike number two, I'm not a college man. And it's not my fault, believe me. First, my father didn't believe in it because he didn't go himself. Never mind that my father never made more than $25 a week when he was working. But he always thought he was a model of success. Why, I don't know. Maybe because he could pay the rent every month and have enough for cigarette money. Well, like, you don't have to have ambition for yourself, but for your children. Like you, Mrs. Goldberg, I can see that you're eating yourself up because you don't want Sammy to make a mistake with his life. Some people are not observant, but I am. My mother can't keep one thought from me. All I have to do is look at her. And now all I have to do is look at you, Mrs. Goldberg.
Yeah? Rosalie?
Yes?
You're not sleeping?
I was reading. I've got an examination at school tomorrow.
So?
So Sammy came in and put my light out.
Well,
and it wasn't because he was afraid I'd spoil my eyes.
No, what then?
The light was shining into Sylvia's room, and he was afraid it might disturb her.
Oh. Well, he turned out the light because, how do you know that's why he turned out the light?
Oh.
By the way, you come to conclusions. So what are you looking for?
Flashlight.
For what?
I'll put it under my quilt and study that way, and then I won't disturb her.
Love is wasting a revolution.
The flashlight is on the sideboard.
I have it. Can Joe get here yet?
I told your mother to go to bed. I don't mind at all.
Sure. Good night, Rosalind.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
If you don't feel like talking, Mrs. Goldberg, you don't have to.
It's all right, Seymour. Why shouldn't I feel like talking? There's something to talk. I always like to talk. Why not? Sporty's outdoors yet.
Maybe that's my cousin Joe at least.
Must be Joe. Family what?
Ma, why isn't Sporty in the house?
Why? I'll call him.
No, don't call him, Ma. I'll go out and get him.
I'll go out and get him.
No, you'll wake up the whole house, Ma.
Feel it's all my fault.
Come on, Sporty, stay. Go ahead. Go lay down. Lay down.
Come here, Sporty. Come here. Go.
Good night, Ma.
Good night, Pamela.
You didn't have that shutter fixed, did you, Ma?
No.
Well, it bangs back and forth. It's terribly annoying.
I'll have it fixed.
You want me to remind you?
No. I'll remember.
All right. Good night, Ma.
Good night.
I love you.
Lay down, Sporty. Go. Go in the corner. Go. Don't pull me. Go in the corner. Lay down.
Maybe Joe is coming up the pathway.
Yeah, I only hope that cousin of mine don't hurt my feelings. I'll state my problem and then leave it to him. If he makes an effort, he could find a job for me after what my father did for his father when he was in a position.
He'll find you something.
I hope so. Without a searchlight, I'd walk out of the house. Honestly. There's no moon, there's no stars out tonight, and did I get lost?
Come in, sir.
Hello.
Well, let me look at you. The same Seymour.
What did you expect? I have no fairy godmothers to make me over.
Sit down, Joe.
Thanks, Mrs. Goldberg. What did you come for, Seymour?
You want me to speak plain? For a job.
So you leave a city of 6 million people and come to a small town like this? Why don't
I didn't come for advice. I came for a job.
Seymour, don't be impertinent.
We're not so far removed from each other that I can't be impertinent. To your father, my rich uncle, I can't be impertinent. I'm liable to forfeit the inheritance he would leave me.
Seymour.
All right. We don't have to burden Mrs. Goldberg with this any further. We can discuss it at your house.
My house?
I'm going to your house, yes. You're living in a cottage with spare rooms. You're not living in a 1.5-room apartment. I wouldn't be crowding you.
Our spare room is a nursery, Seymour.
So I'll sleep in the nursery. What did my mother do for you when you had your adenoids and tonsils out? Well, we lived on the ground floor, so your mother wouldn't have to run upstairs every hour with ice cream for you, because the doctor said...
Listen, Seymour, don't intimidate
me. So you used a big weight, so you went to college.
Listen, Seymour, I didn't walk 0.5 mile and leave my wife alone to come here to argue with you. My wife is in no condition to have extra guests.
It's very funny. Mrs. Goldberg could have extra guests. People she don't like and guests that don't like her. A stranger, not a blood relation, and somebody that didn't do anything for them, like my father did for your father when he was in a position.
All my life, that's all I ever heard. What my father did for your father when he was in a position. What position, please? What position? That's what I want to know. What position? Did your father ever make more than a living when he was working? Did he ever have more than to keep the wolf away from the door? What position? What $1 million did your father ever make that he had a position?
My father was in a position, even if he wasn't like the Rothschilds. So he never made more than $25 a week. So he didn't live in a cottage with extra rooms for a nursery. So he never sent his family away in the summer. Hopefully and butlers and maids didn't crowd up his 4-room apartment in the Bronx. But let me tell you, Joe, even if you are my cousin, that when my father was making $25 a week, your father was starving. He was married and you were born, and the whole family of which you are so proud to belong to didn't have a crust in the house, let alone butlers and maids. And my father took $5 a week from his 25 and gave it to your father every week. For your father, my father, was in a position. Don't forget that.
So how many times over did my father repay that? How many times did he pay back that money with interest and bonuses and credits? Did my father ever say no to your father? Did my father ever grudge your family a penny or a dollar or $100? Would he grudge your family now?
Who's asking for money? Who's asking you for anything except the common courtesy of aiding me in my pursuit for happiness? Did I come here for charity or handouts? Did I? I came in search of a job. You're my cousin by blood, if not by disposition. And it's up to you, whether you like it or not, to get me a job. You can't insult me and you can't chase me away. I'm here to get a job.
All right, so you're here to get a job.
How?
But Mrs. Goldberg, did you ever have any...
Please, so get Oxydol. Your dealer has it in a bright orange and blue bullseye box with O-X-Y-D-O-L on it. That spells Oxydol, and Oxydol spells dazzling white safe watches. And be sure to listen to the next episode, won't you? For another midnight talk of a totally different kind. And now this is Don Hancock saying goodbye for the makers of High Test Oxydol.